Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. I am so pleased that you're here today. Happy Wednesday, of course. Welcome to the new subscribers. And of course, thank you so much to everybody who's pushed play on another episode. I really appreciate you so much, more than you know. Just a quick comment on our last podcast. I want to say you guys have blown me away. Thank you so much for the Facebook messages. I had no idea when I was recording it what an impact that it was going to have. For those of you who didn't send a message or who don't know, to be honest with you, I've had maybe about 30 messages from counselors and psychologists and social workers about the podcast, about talking about the opportunities for counselors now and social workers too, given everything that's happening with ARPA at the moment and their gag orders on, in my opinion, let me just say that again, it's in my opinion, the gag orders. You can go onto the ARPA website and have a look at that information. It's the COVID-19 statement. And you can also jump onto my personal Facebook profile. If you scroll down, I think it was last week, I wrote an article and included a bunch of references, psychologists speaking out against the gag order, as well as some doctors and some other research there. So feel free to go and have a look at it if this is all new to you. I'm so touched that this made such an impact, and I'm really pleased that it did and that it's helped you. Somebody did mention something that I thought was super interesting as well, and that was that as we move forward, the more and more people that are getting vaccinated, the numbers are going up. She was sort of saying to me that she sees the opportunities for counselors and social workers now, not psychologists and doctors and, you know, ARPA people, but if you're in that other space where you're free, so to speak, to have open conversations with clients and look at all perspectives and support them in making a decision that's right for them. She was sort of saying, look, because so many people have been vaccinated now, she was sort of predicting that these conversations that we'll be able to have with our clients would be perhaps more based on the medical apartheid and segregation that's perhaps likely to be seen. I mean, we don't know. I'm in Victoria and, you know, things are very, very tense here. There is talk of segregation. Well, it's already kind of happening. They're testing, they may have started already, I'm not sure, but I think they started doing COVID passports in regional Victoria just to sort of trial it and get it off the ground and see how it's going. I understand there are other states that aren't doing that. So there's all these sorts of things that are happening. I understand too that in some industries, I think it is with New South Wales, they're not going to have a segregation or that medical apartheid. So from 1st of December, apparently, but of course it could change. So it's really, I guess, a tricky time. It's hard to live in Australia sometimes, especially with different states having different rules and things like that. But if you're a counsellor or a social worker, and you're in Victoria especially, I would encourage you to start shifting your messaging now so that you can receive the clients who do want to, you know, unpack what it means for them to be discriminated against as a result of not being able to wear a mask due to their medical reasons, and also for those people who, for whatever reason, are unable or yet haven't had a vaccination. Yeah, I would definitely start speaking to that online now, if that's where you're marketing, and I know most of you are, and even out to your emails, because, you know, the reality is that, unfortunately, this is a small segment of the community. A lot of them, are reporting online that they're feeling very bullied, and bullied by medical professions, which is really, really sad, isn't it? And isn't it good that we're not part of that? And so we can absolutely be there to give them the guidance and support that they need. And that's the most important thing, isn't it? Looking after our clients first and making sure that we don't do harm, that we behave ethically. And yeah, so... yeah, I just want to say thanks so much for your feedback. what are we talking about today? Well, other feedback that I had, and thank you again, was people messaging me to say that they really enjoyed the podcast on energetics. So guess what we're doing today? You guessed it. We're going to have an episode on energetics for private practice. I know, do you love it so much? I do. Okay, so this is a topic that I touched on. Oh, look, it must be about, I haven't checked to be honest, but I would say it'd be about, maybe 12 or 18 months ago. I think I did an episode on it. You can go back if you're so inclined to want to listen to it. I think don't listen to my old podcasts. I don't know that they were that good. I don't know that these ones are that good, but you know what? You're always improving, I like to think. And so when I go back and look at or listen to my old podcast, to me, it's kind of like looking at old photos of myself. It's just, oh, it's embarrassing. But anyway, so this is what we're focusing on today. So first off, what's a quantum leap? Well, I know it's really, to me, I love this because it sounds so woo-woo. But here's the thing. You could say it is, but between you and I, of course, there are parallels and overlaps with evidence-based approaches. Now, oh, I know, I did it again, didn't I? That was a bit controversial. How is quantum leaping related to an evidence-based approach? Well, I'm going to tell you. You'll hear as we go along. I know, I love pot stirring sometimes, don't I? That's just a little bit of fun for today. I seem to be, I don't know, in a bit of a rebellious mood at the moment. But anyway, so when a quantum leap is essentially, look, I'm using my serious voice now, aren't I? Okay. A quantum leap is when you not only imagine the version of yourself that's in her most soul aligned, best ever life and private practice, but you start to embody her. Okay, so let me say that again. It's imagining and being able to visualize and, you know, really lean into and feel into that version of you that's already out there in the field of potential, you know, in the quantum field out there. Here's some science for you. You can go and read Joe Dispenza. He's got a whole lot of books. You can read his book, Becoming Supernatural. There's a whole lot of science in that if you're worried about it being too woo. But you embody that version of yourself and you do it right now. So the other thing that happens when we quantum leap, some people call it quantum jumping, is there's this other term that we use in sort of the spiritual community, which is collapsing time. And so all that means is instead of it taking us, you know, 5 years or 10 years to get to that version of ourselves, by embodying that version of ourselves from now, we essentially collapse time by getting where we want to be sooner. Does that make sense? Okay. So what do you need to do? Like, is there any equipment? You know, no, you don't need to do anything other than inner work mostly, which I know you love and I love it too. Okay. So in order for you to experience change, and let's keep this focused on your private practice, but in order for you to experience change in your private practice, you might already have an idea of what you want to be experiencing, but you're kind of in a space at the moment of tolerating not having it. Yep. So you're not happy that you don't have it, but you're just kind of tolerating not having it. Kind of like if something's really bugging you or annoying you, you can just kind of block it out and tolerate it and just power on. But results are going to happen or the new normal is going to happen when you stop tolerating where you are. Make sense? And how do we do that? Well, we do that by setting an intention, and it has to be an intention that you can get behind. So it's got to be something that you can really connect with, feel into, lean into, embrace, love, feel excited about. Okay. When you want to see change in your practice, of course, it's going to require change to make that happen. And the first place that we need to create that change isn't with a new strategy. It's not with a new website, nothing like that. The very first thing that we need to change is our vibration. Okay, the very first thing we need to change is our vibration. And you might be thinking, oh, how do I do that? I'm not sure how to do that, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the thing. It's so important, and I'll tell you how to do it, but it's so important that you do, because you and I both know that the law of attraction is also called the law of vibration. And it means we get back what we put out. Okay, we get back what we put out. So if you're vibrating at the level where you are now, which we all are, we're all vibrating at our current level, but there's that version of you over there that's, I don't know, fully booked, or maybe she's grown the practice, or maybe she's downsized the practice. Maybe she's got a laptop lifestyle, whatever it is. But that version of you over there that you want to attain, she's vibrating at a higher level. Okay. And so what we want to do is we need to bring our vibration up so that we're a vibrational match. We're an energetic match for that version of us that's already out there that we want to be right now. Yep. But here's the mistake that women in private practice make when I teach them how to do this. We'll have the call, we'll have the conversation, all goes really well. We talk through some strategies that they can implement straight away so that they can start to raise their vibration. All goes well. I check in with them later that day. Yeah, how'd you go? They say, oh, I feel great. You know, I'm buzzing. I've got so much energy. I'm so lit up. I'm on fire. They're in this really, really, really good space. But I can go back and check with them, you know, 3 days later, and they're back doing the same old thing that they were doing last week. We don't want you to have a suntan effect of change. A suntan effect is when you feel, well, you know, maybe you go to a retreat, like a private practice retreat or something like that, and you get all this knowledge and all this, and you're like, bum, 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 this is so great. And then you kind of come back to real life and you forget everything, or you put it on the back burner because clients are now the priority, not doing your marketing or something like that. It's called a suntan effect because it's not durable, doesn't last. Feels good in the moment, but doesn't last. So we want to avoid a suntan effect for you. And the way to do that is to get really clear and conscious and intentional about where you're going to focus your attention, what you're going to be thinking, saying, doing, feeling, because that's how you're going to be able to create durable change. Now, you guys know this already. You're all qualified, most of you qualified counselors, psychologists, social workers, coaches. You get this. You know how it works. Sometimes we just need to hear it from someone else, don't we? But you know, the other thing too is not only do we need to become a vibrational match for what you want in your practice, we also need to understand that our vibration is who we are, right? It's our energetic signature. It's our blueprint. You and I have both had experiences where, you know, we've gone to meet up with friends, or, you know, and we've just clicked with someone, or there's somebody who we've just kind of felt, repelled, because I'm thinking of a magnet. You know, there's just, you just pick up on the energy, don't you? That's because, as I said, we are energy, we're vibration. So it also works this way. If you're a woman in private practice and you want something, let's say you want more referrals, more private clients who are not paying using Medicare rebates, you want private clients, or you want coaching clients, or you want high ticket clients, or whatever it is you're wanting, or a new premises, or I don't know, whatever it is. If you're wanting that, you know, then you're always going to be wanting that. Why? Because like attracts like. You're in the vibration of want. So you're going to perpetually want. Do you see how it works? It's like, I don't know, if you have a call, let's say you book a coaching call and you want to make some inquiries. How much does it cost? What do I get for the money? What's involved? When does it start? When does it finish? What, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And then it gets to the very end and you go, oh, this all sounds amazing. And yeah, I can definitely feel us working together. But, you know, I need to circle back to you because, you know, hubby's up to this and the children that, and I've just moved that and da 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 da. Then guess what? You're going to be in this same position 6 months, 12 months, 18 months because you're putting out the vibration that you can't do something. So you're going to get back evidence that says you can't do something. So you'll always be in that trap. That is until it becomes intolerable, right? And that's what I was saying at the start of the episode today. You've got to get to a point where you do not tolerate your previous situation, right? You know, you are ready, something has to change. And usually, again, as you know, this comes about through, you know, basic motivational principles. We either want to move away from pain and we want to move toward pleasure. Yep. So when you get to the point of not tolerating it anymore, it usually would mean, you know, there aren't enough clients in the diary. The clients who come aren't ideal. Like they're not a great match for you. Perhaps you're not loving it. Perhaps they're late with their payments. Perhaps their third party funder, you know, only pays every 90 days or something like some EAPs do, which is crazy. How are you meant to run a business like that? But anyway, so yeah, thinking about all of that, I've just lost my train of thought. I've lost it. I'll come back to that. Oh yeah, I'm just saying that you're always going to be in that place of, you know, lack. That will be what you constantly manifest until you get to that place of pain, such as what I was just talking about there with not having the referrals or the money coming in or this or that. That will be what pushes you to the point of saying, I don't care how I'm going to do this or how I'm going to make it happen, but come, you know what, or high water, I'm going to have to get a coach now, or I'm going to have to get supervision, or I'm going to have to get mentoring, or I'm going to have to go and learn how to create a private practice that's profitable for me and aligns with my values, right? You might be somebody who just waits for that pointy end of the stick. Sorry about that. I don't know how to stop it. Yep, so that's probably what's going to happen. You have to wait till you get to that pointy end of the stick. And guess what? That's not the ideal place to be, because when you do go and enroll in a class, a course for private practice, a business course, your supervision, mentoring or coaching, guess what energy you're bringing to that? You're bringing an energy of despair, desperation, fix it, fix it, fix it, hurry, 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 rush, 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 I need results, you know, yesterday. And are you really going to get the most out of your time with that other person that you've hired to support you? No, because they're going to be doing crisis intervention with you. I will not work with clients like that because I don't want to be caught up in the crisis energy. But there are other people who will support you, of course, if you're in that state of crisis. I'm just giving you an example here of how, you know, and it's an extreme example of like the pointy end of the stick that pushes you to change. So the first thing that you need to do to create the quantum leap is really imagine, you know, this identity of the woman that you want to be in the private practice you really, really want to have. So it all begins with an identity shift. And that's what I mean by it starts from the inside, right? Your business success comes from the inside out. As I said, I trademarked that tagline because I believe in it so much. Okay, so your identity needs to change and shift before you will start to see change in the 3D external reality, right? Once you've done that, okay, the next thing that you need to do is unpack your mindset, unpack your belief system. And hey, I can imagine what maybe some of you might be thinking, because you know what, when people used to say to me, hey, Brooklyn, you know, maybe we need to do some mindset work, I used to roll my eyes and I used to think, really, you're going to teach me about mindset work? I'm a psychologist with a PhD and 14 years of university under my belt and 21 years in private practice, and you're going to teach me about mindset? Like, no thanks. That's how I used to view, like, when people would say mindset work. But it wasn't until I started doing mindset work that I realized, oh, this is actually really powerful and this is really helpful. And now I'm addicted. And I love it so much. And it's, you know, it's so, so, so important that you allow yourself to do that mindset work. Because here's the thing, when you start to quantum leap and you embody, and I'll teach you how to quantum leap, don't worry, but when you do it, you're going to be embodying the version of you that you've been dreaming of becoming. But that version of you probably holds very different beliefs to this current version of you. Yeah, you agree? Yeah, she's probably not, you know, stressing about whether or not people can afford her services. She's probably not freaking out about her calendar or her diary. She's probably got stuff sorted out, systems and processes all mapped out, things like that, right? She's probably miles ahead in terms of her thinking and her mindset from where we are now. She probably doesn't have the same level of fear that we do now. And that's why it's important that we do some of that mindset work. And I'll help you with that in a minute. I'm going to give you an activity to do that I would love for you to do before we do the quantum leap. Because, of course, I want this to be durable and I want you to love it and see the change. Okay. So you might have things that you believe to be true about referrals or about referrers or about hiring team or about marketing or messaging or making offers to people or your programs or your fees or whatever it is. And that version of you that's already living the life you want with the practice that you want would probably see each of those things very differently to you. So that's where we, you know, take ourselves the second step. And you know what? It then leads to behavior change. I told you there was science behind this, right? So when you start to think about it and you start to shift your thoughts and you start changing the way you see different elements and aspects of your private practice, you're going to start doing things differently. And this is where the behavior change comes in. And it happens very organically. It's not like CBT where you need to sit down and have a structure or a process. It will just happen very organically, okay? But as I said before, the gap between where you are right now and where you want a quantum leap is going to require you to change. And this is the part, like, although we're all in the business of helping other people change, sometimes we're not so great at it ourselves. And that's for a reason, you know. Our brain is wired to freak out and panic at things that are new and different because, well, they're new and different, but also because it's going to require a whole lot more mental energy for our brain to get on board with actually implementing change, yeah? It's like so many times if you said to yourself, I already know this, but this, why aren't you doing it, right? You're not doing it, not because you don't want to, but you're not doing it because you're tolerating not doing it. You haven't hit that pain point yet, but also because it just feels like hard work and you probably can't be bothered or you've got other priorities or there's too much going on or something like that. Change requires energy and motivation. It's set up to do as much as it can on autopilot and conserve energy. I think I've mentioned before, your brain uses 30% of your caloric intake every single day. So it's not wired for change, okay? So this is where you need to get real with yourself, and it's where you need to wake up and choose to be really conscious and really intentional if you want to make this quantum leap moving forward, okay? Now, it's not hard. This gets to be easy. Okay, I'm probably making it sound a little bit more complicated than it is, but I just want to make sure you've got all the information that I have because you may need it and you probably have questions. So I'm preempting by trying to answer them before I get messages. But Yeah, you have to be able to be okay with focusing your energy in a really, really, really productive way, and a very, very intentional way if you're going to make this work, okay? What else do I want to say? So I've got an activity for you. So we're not going to quantum leap today because you need to do this pre-work, okay? So on our next episode, which is on Saturday, we'll take this sort of the next step. But for now, maybe go and pause this, get a pen and paper, and then come back. I want you to be really, 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 really honest with yourself. And, you know, I want you to explore what's your current reality like? Like what's a typical day like for you in your private practice and in your life? And I want you to really consider what are the real consequences of staying where you are? What are the real consequences of not changing? Okay, so ask yourself this question. If my practice doesn't change, okay, if it remains as it is right now, what are the consequences of this emotionally, mentally, financially, right, spiritually, over the next, say, 24 months? And be honest with yourself, okay? This is going to take time because I'm asking you to do it in four different areas here. But yeah, if my practice doesn't change, if it stays as it is right now, what are the consequences of staying as it is right now for me mentally, energetically, financially, and spiritually over the next 24 months? Allow yourself space and time to journal this through, and you can do it in dot points if you like. That's totally fine. And that leads then on to the next part, which is I really want you to understand, as you probably already know as well, that, you know, there's this element of, you know, motivation around secondary gains. So I know most of you know what that is, but for those of you who don't, a secondary gain simply means a benefit that we get from staying in a pain point, from staying in a state of discomfort. And I can give you a really, really good example of that. My dog, Gabe, who I love more than life itself, the best dog in the whole entire world. He's tough as nails, this dog. So he's 11 this year, and he's only been to the vet for an emergency, if you like, or an operation, if it's not even an operation, but once in his whole little life, bless him. And that was for a grass seed. And it was my first experience, because I don't have children, he's it. So it was my first experience of taking a baby to hospital and, you know, freaking out. And I was stressed, trying to remain calm for him and everything. And I took him in to the vet, and it was in COVID, right? It was last year. I was in COVID, and here's the thing, I wasn't even allowed to go into the vets with him. I had to meet the vet out the front. She took him, and he's really, 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 really scared of going to the vets. And she took him, and he didn't want to go. And so he was like skidding. He was digging his heels in, but she took him, and you know, he slid across the lino through reception out into her consulting room or whatever. And then she came out and she said to me he needed to stay there for a few hours and that I could get him, you know, later on that day because he had a grass seed stuck in his little foot. So anyway, I was beside myself. It's only a grass seed, right? But I'm beside myself for some reason. And then anyway, I felt so bad for him because he's a rescue and he, you know, he had bad experiences with the vets when they picked him up and they took him to the rescue place. Anyway, the rescue place did a great job, but Gabe just has his own issues. And then when I went to pick him up, I was all, you know, I wanted to cuddle him and love him and hold him and all of this sort of stuff. He was like, there's nothing wrong. He was acting like, you know, it was a piece of cake. What are you talking about? And what I had done was at home, so the vet was literally at the end of my block. I know, I was living in Hastings. I tell you, it was the best location ever. So right at the end of my block was the vet. So I carried Gabe home in my arms, took him inside, and I'd set up his bed, and I had bought him toys. I bought him treats. You know, I call them lollies, but they're not. They're just like little liver snacks and everything, like dehydrated liver snacks. And so I got him all this stuff that he never normally gets. And anyway, the vet told me that his bandage could come off after 48 hours. So the 48 hours came and Gabe did not want to take the bandage off. And anyway, this went on and on and on for a few days. And then anyway, ended up having to get the vet to come over to the house because Gabe was being a real problem when I was trying to remove his bandage. So the vet comes over to the house after work to remove this bandage and says to me, well, what have you been trying? Da, 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 da. And I'm telling her everything. And then she says to me, he wants to stay in the sick role because he's getting all of these goodies. Like he's seen an advantage to being sick. And that's what secondary gains looks like. So in terms of private practice, and for us as women in private practice, what could our secondary gains be? You know, the easy way to think about this is to ask yourself, you know, when I do this quantum leap, and I do get what I want, is there something I'm not going to be able to do anymore? So let's imagine that you want to have a fully booked diary. Right now, it's about half booked. So you get to leave the office at lunchtime. You get to go to yoga if you're, you know, socially distancing everything, get to do that. Or you get to go home early and Netflix and chill or whatever. But what's going to happen to that lovely lifestyle once you are fully booked? Right? And maybe there's part of you that kind of likes how you've got things at the moment. She's kind of saying to herself, well, everybody else says I should be fully booked and I would like to be fully booked. But yeah, at the end of the day, I'm not going to get to do yoga in the park and I'll miss out on Netflix and, you know, da, 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 da. So maybe there's that going on for you. Just giving you a very general example, but you know what I mean. But really, as a question, as a journal prompt, if I make this quantum leap and I get what I want, is there something I'll not be able to do anymore that I do now and I really, really, really love doing? Okay, so that's one thing. I can give you another example of that actually. When I was expanding, like my practice, it just went through a real explosion in 2019 that I was not prepared for. And, you know, I was like, oh, I want more clients. And I had these five treatment rooms and I really wanted more clients and everything. And then all of a sudden it just happened. But I hadn't set the practice up to cope with it. So I was managing everything myself. So it made extra work for me. It meant I was there like 12, 13 hour days. And it meant that I wasn't able to spend time with my partner. So, you know, I allowed it to damage a relationship that I had at the time. So, you know what I mean? Like just really allow yourself to go there. Be honest with yourself. And you can flip that around too with this other journal prompt, which is if, you know, I manifest this, if I take this quantum leap and I get everything that I want because I believe it's already there, will I have to do something then that I'm not doing now because I don't want to, right? So really think about that as well, because this is really important. If there's a secondary gain there, it doesn't mean you can't change. Of course you can. It just means that that process of change is going to take so much longer and it's going to take so much longer for you to get the results. And if you're like me, you want results like so quickly. I know, for example, let me give you an example. When, like I'm doing this mastermind at the moment, okay? And part of that mastermind is I've been given some homework around marketing. They've broke down the steps for me for the marketing. And I have to, you know, complete step one, submit it, get it approved, wait for it to come back before I'm allowed to move on to step two, submit that, wait for it to get approved before I can go on to step three, etc. But what I do is I don't like the space. I don't like the pause. I don't like the gap. So what do I do? While I'm waiting for one of my steps to be approved, I go and do other courses. I enroll in more stuff and I think to myself, oh yeah, this is going to be great. You know, this is going to be great. This is going to be awesome. So I've got all these like little courses on the go to fill the gap because I don't like that pause. So really think about for you, like what's it going to mean for you if you're going to let it take much longer. Let's say you're ready to make the change you tell yourself, oh, I can do it in 6 months, or I can make that change in 12 months or 18 months. I bet in between now and then you end up doing a whole bunch of stuff that's probably irrelevant, or you do it with not 100% input or interest. You maybe start things and don't complete them. I mean, how much longer are you going to tolerate that for? At what point do you say, oh my gosh, I've enrolled in 27 seminars this year, and what have I got to show for it? Like, what has changed in my practice? Nothing. Okay. So then, I guess, you know, the next question will really be to just check in with yourself and look for any underlying fears around change that perhaps didn't come up when you were looking at the secondary gains, because that's really important as well. Like, I mean, is there something that you're worried about when it comes to taking this quantum leap and actually manifesting the version of you that seems so far off? Like, I'm sitting here right now saying, hey, we can make this happen for you really quickly. If that scares you, that's okay. But, you know, peel it back and find out what is it that's scaring you about that. And when you identify what it is, change it, shift that belief, use your processes. You've got processes. If you need them, listen to previous episodes. Or if you want somebody to bounce this off, of course, book a call with me and I will walk you through that belief so that we can shift it for you on the phone, and then you can get back on with, you know, creating this quantum jump for yourself, because that's the most important thing, right? So before we can do the jumping, we've got to do the pre-work. This is your homework. You've got it now. I'll record the next steps for quantum leaping for your private practice so that you can listen to them on Saturday. So you've got a few days to do this work. Just enjoy it. You know, it doesn't have to be hard or heavy or anything like that. Just enjoy it. And really, when you go to bed at night, or even when you go to bed tonight, I want you to allow yourself to just fantasize about, you know, this version of you that's already out there in the universe running her dream private practice, working with her dream clients, which I'll just share with you. Remember how I was talking to you a few episodes ago? I think it was in the energetic, one of the energetic episodes actually, about making a list of all the qualities that you didn't want in a client and that you do want in a client. Well, I've just pulled mine up, so I'll read out my, soulmate client, what came through for me. So my soulmate client is decisive, is self-approving and self-validating, sees the value in the things that I offer, is resourceful, doesn't ever regret her decisions, pays on time, commits to her desires and goals, implements the lessons and the tools that I provide her with. She wants to learn how to do things for herself. She respects boundaries, her own and others. She trusts in the process and wants to be guided. She stays the course. Even when life or business get bumpy, she's super coachable, is ambitious, and has a vision or a dream that she wants to manifest into her reality. She's open-minded, open to new ways of doing old things, sees beyond process and strategy, and understands her outer world is a direct manifestation of her past thoughts, beliefs, and feelings. She communicates and she reaches out when she's struggling and she needs extra guidance. She takes responsibility for her program. She books all of her sessions and she attends them on time. She implements the lessons. She understands results take time and she applies action consistently. She has a history of starting and completing things. She's willing to look within for answers to questions. She's passionate about working in a healing modality and she's very enthusiastic about working with her dream clients. She regulates her emotions and she's neither reactive nor defensive. She always leads from love and honesty, and she lives and works in coherence with her values, right? that's what came through for me. So I'm just sharing that with you in the spirit of transparency. By the way, if any of that resonated with you, please book a call with me because I have two places available for coaching in October. So the link's in the show notes for that. But just to give you an idea of really not only embodying what you want in your private practice, but also what you want in your clients. Super important, just as I shared with you there, super important. So I will see you on Saturday. You've got homework to do. I look forward to, connecting with you then. Have a beautiful day, ladies. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding, your processes, and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.